Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Pony Development Sync for February 21st, year 2023. I'm your host, Joe McElvain. If those others on the call would like to say their names so that people can associate a name to the voice who are listening to the recording later, now is a good time for that.
Hi, I'm Red.
Hi, I'm Nicolay.
I'm Dante.
And I'm Adrian.
All right. Well, we have a very short list of items on our auto-generated agenda for today. I'm going to take a look. We'll take a look at the Pony Up repo. There is issue ticket 247. This is entitled "Add Pony Up Prefix as Another Option to Point Pony Up's Prefix." So this is as an alternative to the dash dash prefix option that that the Pony Up command currently has. Does anybody want to talk about this idea? I will say, to me, it makes sense to have an environment variable option for this. And I'll just say, I'll leave a comment. So saying that that we discussed in sync and this makes sense to me. Anybody else? Okay. With that said, I think that's everything on our auto-generated agenda list for today. I'm going to leave the tag, I'm going to leave the label on that ticket in case we want to discuss it in the next sync with some people who are not here today. We have a few regulars who are not around. But apart from that, since we don't have anything else on the agenda, we can just talk about other topics that people want to raise. I'll start by raising one of my own. I guess two of my own, although we may not, I'll just kind of mention them for visibility, I guess, for anyone listening to the recording. I mentioned a while back, and Gordon had already encountered this, LLVM 15 has a lot of changes with how pointers are handled. Specifically, pointers are not typed anymore in LLVMIR, which makes some things more complicated. And so I promised to at that time and actually started work this past week on starting to port Pony C over to LLVM 15. And I'm partway there, I'm still working on it, working through remaining code generation issues. It's probably gonna be kind of a slog to get through the remaining issues of understanding what I broke in all of my many changes, but I'm continuing on that. I'm not going to explain it in full here on the sync call, but if anyone's interested, you can go to the runtime stream in the Pony Lang Zulip. I have a recent thread I started there called Windows ASIO, that's asynchronous IO, part of the runtime in Pony. Windows ASIO is not really IOCP, IOCP being Windows IO completion ports. Our driver for Windows is named IOCP, but it's not really using IOCP anymore. It's using a few different mechanisms that are not IOCP. And there's, apart from that just being interesting in and of itself, there's an issue that it seems to be like a possible race condition on Windows that would cause sockets to not ever continue reading or writing if that actor was on a scheduler thread that went away and the actor showed up again on another thread. Basically the Windows mechanism we're using is tied to a specific thread. And so that could be an issue. So I have a little bit of information about that in that thread. If anybody knows about this topic more than me, which is not too hard if anyone's really familiar with Windows asynchronous IO, maybe you could correct me where I'm wrong or point me in the right direction of what might be a good solution. But yeah, that's just a call out for that. Those are the two topics I wanted to mention. Does anybody else have things they want to either tell about or ask about related to Pony?
Jill.
Yes.
Okay. Is the LLVM issue with pointers, is that the same as opaque pointers by default?
It is, yes.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I'll read up online. I just wanted to make sure I was reading the right thing.
Right, yeah. And it's interesting because over on another compiler that I work on, I already made the port to LLVM 15, and I tried to do the option where they let you fall back to the old behavior, mm-hmm. but they warn you that it's supported as a best effort rather than officially supported to do that. And I encountered weird issues when running the LLVM optimization passes that basically made me believe that their best effort to support the old way was not good enough. So
yeah.
So I knew I'd have to switch in LLVM 16 no matter what. So I went ahead and made the switch. And it's just basically there's more places where we need to track the types of pointers because LLVM is no longer letting us do that in the IR. It also makes it harder to read the IR, unfortunately, because and also harder to detect issues with the compiler because with typed pointers, right, you can get a type error if you try to use it as another type pointer and failed to cast it explicitly, right? So not only is it harder to read, but also potentially harder to debug where any new compiler features may be going wrong. So that's unfortunate. But I think they did it out of wanting to reduce complexity significantly on their side, which makes sense because LLVM is very complex. So anything they can do to reduce complexity, get more features out, I mean, it makes sense to me. So we just have to track the types on our side.
Okay.
So I have a branch for that and I'm just working. I've already worked through all the compile time errors and now working through the lovely, the hairier runtime errors.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you for doing the good work because that is not fun times.
It's a little bit fun, but there's a point where it crosses over into not fun. Yeah.
Yeah, it sounds quite exciting actually. I don't mean this the wrong way, but like when can we expect LLVM 15?
It should be I would hope that I've wrapped it up by next week at this time. So the next sync call, otherwise I'll come with my hat in my hand and give many lovely excuses about why I didn't. But yeah, that's my hope is to get it wrapped up within the next week.
Oh, fantastic. That's very soon.
Yeah.
I read a discussion of about cutting out Clang and things like that from the LLVM 15 build. Was it the LLVM 15 build?
Wait, you read a discussion in the Pony chat about cutting out Clang or something in the LLVM world about cutting out Clang?
In the Pony world.
So, in the Pony world, it's the goal is to try to use the Clang that we compile when we compile LLVM rather than relying on whatever version of Clang or whatever compiler that you, as the person compiling Pony C, wants to use at that time and having to support many different ones with different like warnings and errors and stuff. And we get issues related to that sometimes, and it would just be nicer to use the Clang we just compiled in order to compile Pony C, because we have to basically compile. I mean, it does add to the compilation time of LLVM, but it also just adds to the stability and like decreases the maintenance surface for us. So that's the main reason for doing that. There's also hopes of embedding LLD in the future as well, because that would allow us to more easily do cross compiling things or not rely on having a particular system linker around when you're compiling a Pony program. So if we had the embedded LLD as the linker, that would make the Pony compiler more portable, more self-contained.
Yes. So I'm actually playing around with some of the Pony internals and stuff. So I'm currently building Clang that's included in the Pony build. as an LLVM project and then bootstrapping it, so building it again. So that takes a little while. But yes, I'm just hoping that Clang won't disappear next week. And some of the other LLVM projects that are packaged in the subfolder.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. So there was that discussion, right? So yeah, somebody, I don't remember who, but yeah, somebody mentioned, hey, you know, we've got these we could speed up our builds by removing the things we're not currently compiling. And there was kind of pushback on two fronts. One of them was, hey, those debugging utilities can be really useful. We have a goal of using Clang. So we don't want to take it out of the build. So I don't think it's going away. If anything, it will become more tightly integrated.
Fantastic. That's exactly what I was hoping to hear.
Yes.
Yes. So maybe I can get involved with this as well, because I'm currently looking into actually using Clang to build Pony and how to do that. That's a trend. Yes.
Yeah. So there is a branch that we would love your help if you are able to. I am actually currently, I signed myself up to help with this, but have not yet done so. I've been working on the LLVM 15 stuff and some other things instead. This is pull request 4196. It's a draft pull request because it's not fully working yet. But it is working on every platform except in CI, it fails on Alpine Linux x86 64. It's failing to find, so the Clang, when we are compiling Pony C using that Clang, it's failing to find, I forget if it was headers or link libraries, or possibly both, on Alpine Linux. And so the question is, how do we properly build Clang or properly invoke Clang, one or the other, in a way that lets it find those Alpine headers and or link libraries that it's failing to find currently? If you could figure that out and help with that branch, that would be amazing, because then that's basically the only thing standing in the way right now of us getting the Clang, you know, directly integrated into our build system.
I don't know what the issue is. So what I'm doing is I'm building Clang, and then I'm using it to build Pony, and right, that works just beautifully.
Yeah, it works on all platforms except for x86 64 Alpine. There's just like some issue there with it not finding directories. And so, yeah, and it's not headers. I'm looking now at the CI output, it's link libraries. So it's not finding the link libraries for Alpine for some reason, whether it's because of how we built it or because of how we invoked it. But yeah, it's working for you, and it's working on if you're not on that platform. But as soon as we get it working on that platform, that will become the official way to build Pony C.
Okay. Yeah, I don't currently have access to an Alpine platform, but that would obviously make sense. Yes. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. So yeah, for anyone listening along, that's the pull request 4196 in the Pony C repo. Yeah. Anything else you want to talk about with compiler internals, or any questions that popped up related to that I might be able to help with?
Go ahead, please.
You can go first.
Cool, thanks. Someone mentioned that they are working on IR injection.
Red, I believe.
Yes.
Oh, another thing that sounded really interesting. What's the status, if I may ask?
There's a PR request that went in. It's old. It probably now needs to be rebased again. But as far as I'm aware, I mean, there's probably some changes that have to be made because it was a while since it went in. I'm sure there are some places where it'll need to be updated. But it was fully functional when it was when the PR was opened.
Yeah, I think so. It still has work in progress in the title. I don't think that we. So this is pull request 3924 for anyone else following along at home. So I think we didn't review it because it had work in progress in the title. Yeah.
I think the main thing we were still struggling with is how do you go about testing something like that? What would be appropriate tests and such?
The other thing that's still an open question in my mind is...
LLVM 50.
Well, no. I mean, yeah, as far as that's concerned, I mean, like there are going to be incompatibilities there, and that's an interesting point as well. But what I was thinking about is in terms of like operationalizing this and like actually putting into practice the practicalities, the ergonomics of using this, it seems like the use case for it, right, that I'm imagining is I have a library. The library needs some sort of C shims to work correctly, whether that's because of the struct by value challenges that you mentioned earlier, Red, that kind of tend to be a problem, or something else. Like I have a need to have some little C shim, but what if instead of C, it's LOVMIR and I just kind of attach it and it comes along with the library and I can include it and then Pony C will bundle in the IR. The issue is that, like the issue with a practical execution of that is that like if I have a library that needs to run on more than one platform, I would need more than one LLVM IR file with it. And so how do I, maybe I'm making it too complicated. Maybe the answer is you just use an if on the end of the use for a platform-based if. Does that work in your current PR?
Yes, it does.
Oh, okay. Well, forget I said anything except for just to say thank you. I said thank you.
Well, I was about to say, I think we all know who did most of the work on it, but I really do appreciate it. I'm pretty sure it works, but some tests wouldn't be a bad thing.
So the question of how do I test it, right? I think because we do want tests for it coming in. The answer to how you would test it is you use the new libponyc run tests where we'll try to compile and run the program, and you could have a little shim that adds two numbers together and gives back the result.
Yep.
That would be compilable and runnable by the runner automatically to prove that it actually adds the numbers together correctly. And then the numbers become the exit code and we test the value of the exit code and everyone's happy. But if you were to add that test right now, the thing you just said at the start, which is LLVM 15, if you were to add that test right now, well, actually, if you really carefully write the test, you don't need to use pointers. But if you use pointers, the example I gave of just having a function that adds two numbers together and returns the result, right? That doesn't use pointers, so that would be okay. But if you were to use pointers in your example, then your LOVMIR syntax would be kind of broken because the LOVMIR syntax has changed, I think, to have no more typed pointers as well. So yeah. Just don't use pointers when you write the test, I guess, is the answer. And if you get this change in before I get the LLVM 15 change in, then I will adapt and make sure the test passed before as part of me getting LLVM 15 ready. So you don't have to wait if you don't want to, but you could wait. Either way, it should be the same amount of work for you.
Right.
Just possibly more work for me. But it doesn't matter because it's a tiny amount of work compared to the rest of it. So do whatever works for you.
Sounds good.
And then just remove the work in progress and just say, yeah, mark it as ready for review or whatever, and then we'll look at it more closely. But there's not a lot here to review, so it's pretty
keep poking me, Nikolai, or let's work on it together, whichever we want to do.
Well, I've done something very hacky and just implemented a little pass equals from IR command line option that I can basically do pass equals IR and it spits out the IR and then I can modify it and then I can read it back in and continue compilation from there. But whatever you're doing sounds a lot cleaner than what I'm doing. that kind of works.
Yeah, so Red's feature here would add like a supplemental way of adding extra bits of LLVMIR into the main program. Yeah, but it's so a little bit different from your goal of replacing the whole program.
Yeah, it's a lot more exciting what he's doing. And sounds really powerful.
Right, yeah. There are certain things that are not as easy to write in Pony that could be quickly written as a shim in C and compiled to LLVMIR, or if you're comfortable with LLVMIR, just writing directly in LLVM.
Question about the pull the issue 4196. I see you're building libcxx and libcxx ABI. Do we need that?
I think that was an attempt to get around the Alpine issue.
Right.
Because Alpine, it was failing to find the runtime stuff on Alpine. And so I think Gordon's thought was, well, can we just build the runtime stuff? And as I don't think it's necessary per se. Yeah, I could see it going either way, including or not including that. What are your thoughts?
I don't have a definite answer. Sorry. I'm just surprised. I didn't think it was needed, but yes, maybe on Alpine.
It's not needed anywhere, really. It was just, I think Gordon tried it as a workaround. If you look at the commit log for the branch, the second to last commit is try building with compiler-rt. That's the component you mentioned. And then the last one is, well, that didn't work, is the last commit message. So it didn't solve I think it was an attempt to solve the problem. It didn't solve the problem. Yeah. Any other topics people want to discuss while we're here together?
I posted something to compiler discussion that probably should have been an issue of just tracing through a call in a part of the runtime. So in scheduler C, we call the runtime calls pony int thread create with the scheduler's thread ID, a pointer to scheduler's thread ID, and a pointer to the scheduler, which eventually calls pthread create. And both of those pointers are restrict, even though one of them is void. And so, like, I'm thinking that's technically a violation of restrict. It's the last post in compiler discussion. I probably should have put it in as an issue.
Yeah, I don't know the answer to that. I was hoping Sean would chime in because he's more familiar with this part of the code than I am. I think I'm more familiar on some of the compiler side of things, and he's a lot more familiar on some of the runtime side of things. So I don't know the answer.
So should I repost that as an issue?
Yes. And then okay. We can always close it if it's not an issue. But yes, I think that would ensure that it stays on the radar, I guess. I know that Sean's quite busy with work these days, and so he may not have time to respond quickly. But yeah, I think an issue ticket would be appropriate, and then we could track it from there.
Okay.
I actually don't know much about restrict. Yeah, that would be interesting for me to learn about.
I don't know either, but like I read the draft and it's confusing, but I think I read it correctly. But so yeah.
Oh yeah, it's not actually in our code. Okay, yeah, it's in pthread create. And so I'm just going to quickly look up the restrict meaning here. Where is that at? Okay, restrict as a qualifier, but what does the qualifier mean? Okay. Types other than pointer types whose reference type is an object shall not be restrict qualified. That makes sense. It's only for pointers. An object that is accessed through a restrict qualified pointer has a special association with that pointer. This association, defined in 6.7.3.1 below, requires that all accesses to that object use, directly or indirectly, the value of that particular pointer. Okay, so it's an exclusive ownership. The intended use of the restrict qualifier, like the register storage class, is to promote optimization and deleting all instances of the qualifier from all pre-processing translation units composing a conforming program does not change its meaning. Okay, yeah, so it's saying, yeah, if the restrict is not there, it doesn't change the meaning of the program, it's only for optimization. But that is an interesting formal definition of restrict is 6.3 does. Okay, so. Is this interesting to people, or should we stop and have me take this offline? Or I'll put it this way. Does anybody have other topics to raise? Okay.
I'm always down for learning new things.
Yeah, let's learn new things together. So I'm going to quickly kind of read through this, and we can talk through the implications and try to figure out what's going on here. And if Sean listens along to the recording later, he can ping us to tell us what we got wrong, if he is already aware of this stuff. But yeah, so looking at the PDF of the C11 draft that you shared, which has a formal definition of restrict, says, let D be a declaration of an ordinary identifier that provides a means of designating an object P as a restrict qualified pointer to type T. All right, so D is a declaration. P is the object. And T is the type that the pointer points to. If D appears inside a block, it does not have storage class extern. Okay, so it does not appear inside a block. So we'll skip that. If D appears in a list of parameter declarations of a function definition, that's where it appears, let B denote the associated block. Okay, so B is the block of the function definition. And then there's an otherwise, but we don't need the otherwise because that's the true. Okay, so B is the function block. And what follows, a pointer expression E is said to be based on object P if at some point in the execution of B, if at some sequence point in the execution of B, prior to the evaluation of E, modifying P to point to a copy of the array object into which it formerly pointed would change the value of E. Note that base is defined only for expressions with pointer types. Okay, so basically, so they say object P, but it's really the pointer is P. So if you change P to point to a copy of what it formerly pointed to, and if that changes some expression E, then that expression, the pointer expression E, is based on the pointer P, the value of the pointer P. So, and this is within the execution of B prior to the evaluation of E. So it's not yet talking about threads. I'm curious how that might tie in. During each execution of B, let L be any L value that has ampersand L based on P. If L is used to access the value of the object X that it designates, and X is also modified by any means, then the following requirements apply. T shall not be const qualified. Every other L value used to access the value of X shall also have its address based on P. Every access that modifies X shall be considered also to modify P. If P is assigned the value of a pointer expression E that is based on another pointer object P2 associated with block B2, then either the execution of B2 shall begin before the execution of B, or the execution of B2 shall end prior to the assignment. So that's where threading comes in, I think. Yeah, if those requirements are not met, then behavior is undefined, which obviously we don't want. So let's, yeah, if P is assigned the value of a pointer expression E that is based on another restricted pointer object P2 associated. Okay, so it's actually not coming into play directly because we actually, so it says if it's based on another restricted pointer object P2 associated with block B2, then the execution of B2 shall begin before the execution of B, or the execution of B2 shall end prior to the assignment. Okay, so just basically B2 has to happen first if it's based on P. And if it's a restricted pointer object P2. What's interesting here is that we don't have a restricted pointer object on the caller side.
Yeah, but within P said word create, there are restricted pointer objects because we assume that because Ozix says that it's declared like that, they are compiled as restricted pointer objects. And then I assume that that despite it creating a new thread, it still counts as being occurring within the execution of the block that is the call to pthread thread create, because the docs don't say otherwise.
Okay, and you are specifically talking about the void pointer that is at the end, that's the last argument of pthread create. That's the one you're concerned about.
Yeah, in relation to the modification of the first pointer, the thread pointer, because that's pointing to a member of what is passed into the last pointer argument.
Right. Right. So if the internals implementation of pthread create were to make a copy of the arg as the restrict qualifier implies that it is allowed to do, then we would not see any updates on our side to that because we wouldn't be dealing with the copy, right? Yeah. That is interesting. But what's still not clear to me, though, is this optimization they're doing. I doubt
actually implements it like this, but like it sounds technically wrong.
What's not clear to me yet is, so we know that this is meant to enable an optimization where within B, which is the implementation of pthread create, within B, the compiler would be allowed to create a copy of the arg and have a different pointer. What's not clear to me yet is that in that optimization, would the compiler also be required to, like after the block is done, go back to like copy from the copied area of memory into the original area of memory so that it's as if
it would probably be, but like that would be as Ozix doesn't say whether the new thread begins, whether that would be synchronized with beginning of the new thread, and which would lead to reading memory that's being modified by another thread.
Right. If we were to read it at any time prior to that thread kicking off. Do you know of a place yet in the code where we read?
We read it on the new thread of the new thread reads what was it was passed as our its argument, the scheduler. And while it's reading that, pthread create could be updating the schedulers, updating the thread with the new thread ID after we read the scheduler in the new thread, so it won't get the new won't get the scheduler's thread ID. Because we're still occurring in the block because it's not, doesn't say it's synchronized.
I'm trying to find the
that section was written before the restrict section was written before threads were incorporated into C, and it's pretty much literally exactly the same as it was in C99, and nobody updated it for how this relates to threads. So there's some assumptions being made there.
So the key assumption, if I understand you correctly, the key assumption that we're relying on is that block B, as per the definition of restrict, that block B, we're relying on an assumption that block B ends before the run thread function is invoked on the new thread.
Yeah.
And that's what is
it doesn't say anything for or against that interpretation on POSIX. And it could start running it and then update, and that could be after I don't think the implementation anything but a sanitizer will actually implement it in a way that it misbehaves, but I think it is wrong.
I was doing a little bit of Googling on this topic to see if anybody else has asked this question and gotten clarification or whatever. Somebody gave on Stack Overflow, somebody gave an answer that feels totally different from what I was expecting. So I don't know if it's because I'm wrong or because this answerer is wrong, right? So the answerer gives the example of memcopy. They say restrict places a requirement on the caller that the pointer arguments to this function cannot alias. That is, the pointers must not point to the same object. While this makes obvious sense for pthread create, it's more important for a function like memcopy. Memcopy requires the input buffers to not overlap. It's usually implemented as a simple forward or backward iterating loop. So if buffers do overlap, it could end up copying data that's already been copied. So that's a totally different understanding of what restrict means than what I thought I read in that spec, according to this person.
Yeah, things I've read say that nobody actually understands what they meant with what they wrote. And so if we compile almost entirely just uses the, you can ignore this, and the rest of it's to say, yeah, we're not dealing with this complexity, but it says it is.
Do you have a link to what you were reading there, please?
The Stack Overflow or the actual spec?
The Stack Overflow.
Yeah, I will share it in the chat here for the call, but for anyone listening along later to the recording, if you go to Stack Overflow, there is a question entitled, what is the meaning of restrict in pthread create? The second answer actually makes more sense to me in that it says it tells the compiler that only this pointer or a pointer derived from it will access what the pointer is pointing to. And so this is saying that, like, if I understand it in that light, it's saying from this point on, nothing is going to touch this memory except for stuff that's inside the new thread. And I'm not sure if that's true. I think at shutdown, we actually loop over the schedulers, maybe. I'm not sure if we do, actually. Let's see.
That's not how I understand it, to be honest. I know it. They have it in CUDA as well. It's like NVIDIA has it. And it literally just means that the pointers point to completely different areas in memory. That if you have pointer A and B, that B is not pointing to an offset of A or something.
And B that's what the first Stack Overflow person said, which didn't sound to me like it matched the spec. But that's interesting that it matches what you know from CUDA and such.
It gives them huge performance gains. I want to look at the pthread spec now. I'll look it up, don't worry.
So pthread create has four, all right, I gotta get back to the definition of it. Pthread create has these four arguments. Three of them are marked with restrict. And so it sounds like you're saying what this means is that these three arguments cannot have any overlapping memory, or the caller is guaranteeing to the pthread create that none of these will be used in a way that causes them to see to reach the same memory from the different pointer arguments. Which kind of does match up with the spec. The benefit of restrict qualifiers is that they enable a translator to make an effective dependence analysis of function f without examining any of the calls of f in the program. The cost is that the programmer has to examine all of those calls to ensure that none give undefined behavior. So, I mean, this makes sense to me as a, I guess, yeah, first of all, in the spec, there's no example they give that uses restrict in parameters where it's referring to a single parameter. Yeah, if I look further in the spec, it matches what you were saying, Nikolai, I think, and what the first Stack Overflow answerer was saying.
So I moved what I posted to Zool up to a new issue.
Okay.
And also put in the Stack Overflow post that you just linked to.
Okay. But yeah, if this is the correct way to understand this requirement, then we would only be breaking it if the different arguments we gave, so for example, the thread ID argument or the run thread function pointer. Oh, hang on. No. Sorry, I'm looking at the wrong source code. Let me go back to pthread create. This would be if the attributes pointer that we stack allocated or and the thread ID pointer that we passed in and or the void pointer argument, which is the scheduler itself, if any of these were used in such a way that they would overlap memory, then that would be undefined behavior. But I believe that we don't do that. They're not overlapping memory.
of it would be because at scheduler line 1,318, we pass directly a pointer to a scheduler's thread ID and the schedule itself as the first and last arguments of pony and internal thread create. And that calls pthread create with those two arguments.
But, oh yeah, hang on. Pony and thread ID is a pointer. I was going to say something, but I might be wrong about it. Give me a moment. So pony and thread create calls with, yes, the address. Yes. Yeah, I was about to say that was wrong, but no, it's correct. The address of the thread ID within the scheduler struct, it's a struct within a struct rather than a struct pointer within a struct. And so the address there does overlap with the entire scheduler. So it does overlap, but the question is it used in such a way that the overlapping is part of what's in block B? And that's what that's interesting. Yeah. So yeah, pthread could copy one but not the other and mess things up in that way. I see. So it's not that we, in the end, I think this has nothing to do with the, it does, okay. Yeah, so the fact that these overlap could be used by a certain implementation of pthread create compiled by a certain compiler that was taking use of restrict to copy in such a way that we clobber either one or the other copy of this thread ID struct. And that's not good. So the resolution of this, I think, would be fairly simple, which is probably that we should just pool alloc the thread ID struct and have the scheduler, have scheduler T struct contain a pointer to the thread ID struct rather than a directly nested instance of it. And I believe that should resolve the issue, the hypothetical issue. So I'll mention that in the ticket, and maybe Sean will listen to this later and say we were wrong in some way, or maybe we were right. I don't know. Maybe he won't have time. So, but yeah, I think pool allocating the thread ID struct makes sense rather than having it be nested within the scheduler struct.
Can I maybe demonstrate my ignorance for a moment?
Always.
Awesome. I'm well practiced. if we are violating some kind of rule, isn't this something the compiler should have caught?
No.
With most rules in C, the compilers generally agree not to catch them.
Yeah. The other thing is the compiler can't know. The compiler can't actually know that this is unsafe without knowing a lot of context about how it's used. And it could be that maybe this actually is not. Well, yeah, I don't know, it is, I think. But yeah, the compiler doesn't necessarily know that it's unsafe.
It probably should not know that this is unsafe, but like, Clang and GCC don't check these sorts of things without lots of sanitizers. And I don't think there's a particular sanitizer for this sort of issue. And this is confusing.
Right. Okay. So I'll add it to the ticket, and I'll add my recommendation that we pool allocate the thread ID struct, and then hopefully that is a straightforward way that it could be solved. Anything else people want to raise in the last 4 minutes here? Okay. Well, thanks everyone for those who attended and those listening along to the recording later. We'll see you all next week.